everybody listening. And hi, Karim.
Hello. Hi, Joe.
Good, yeah. So we are recording this because we'd like to talk about the paradigm behind Steve March's work and the impact that it's had on my coaching and the inspiration for you, Karim. And of course, we have also Unfolding Change, which is launching at the moment. And so you're going to ask me some questions and we'll kind of go with the flow. We're going to keep this quite short. And something someone very wise said to me yesterday really inspired me for this conversation too, which was they were challenging me to think about how the coaching profession needs to evolve in these times. Mm-hmm. And they said, it needs to move from practice to praxis. And actually the word praxis means, if I just pull this up, it actually means practice as distinguished from theory. And I think that really goes to the heart of this paradigm shift and what Steve's program is about. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what do I mean when I say that. So
yeah, that's a great starting point, Joel. What is this new paradigm of unfoldment that Steve is talking about that inspires you?
Yeah, so it's, I think a powerful way to frame it was to talk about my story in a very brief way that, and we've actually mentioned this in some of the communication we've been putting out. When I was younger, I got really into Ken Wilber's integral theory and all this stuff, and it was amazing. I got really lit up by that, but very quickly, I actually got to a place where I was like, okay, this is like theories and maps and models, but there was something dissatisfying about it. It was like, how do you live this? We were asking this question. A number of us in the community who were inspired by this started asking the same question. How do you live this stuff? And I think what it points to is something fundamental, which is theories and models, which we can learn in coaching as well, can actually create a barrier to being in connection with what's arising in the moment with somebody or within our own experience. And in a sense, they can abstract us out of the experience of the moment. And so what is beautiful about what I've learned from Steve is that he's teaching a way for us to begin to become masters of the moment, to begin to make deep contact with our clients, to help them make deeper contact with themselves, and to hold an attitude that allows for a natural unfolding to take place. As opposed to, you know, and Steve's talked about the self-improvement paradigm, which does have some use to it, but can actually, this sense of like, I must improve myself. There's a place I want to be at. Where I am right now isn't it. It can actually reinforce a sense of lack that we're trying to solve inside of the self-improvement paradigm. Like, something's missing right now. And I've got to get over there to find that missing thing. And so what that can lead to is, I think if you have that self-improvement paradigm plus maps and theories, it can it works, but it can give the coaching this sense of like effort. There's an effort and there's a sense of trying to fit the moment into the theory and into the coaching approach in order to have it click and then get to where you want to be. And that whole endeavor can feel like a bit of a burden sometimes. So contrast that with the unfolding approach, which is actually something quite different. It's, can I actually invite my client to meet themselves and to let their experience be just the way it is? Which sounds very paradoxical. It sounds contradicting to why a lot of people come into coaching. They want to create change. But actually, as we let things be, then things begin to unfold. as we let that sensation, that emotion, the thought, whatever's showing up in our experience be just the way it is, it begins to reveal itself. And that's where new insights or integration can actually begin to occur. And so the change actually happens more quickly. And there's a lot more I could say about that, but yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I can really feel that resonating. But I'm also sitting here with a question. You know, with my clients, they can come with an agreement of I want to work on conflict or I want to look at my integration into a new role. So there is already a setup of, you know, I want to get somewhere. So how does this paradigm allow to us to work with coaches with these kind of goals and objectives?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I think an important distinction is it's not when I say we let things be, you know, in a sense, I'm saying we drop the change agenda we have for ourselves. It's not that we throw out any ambitions that we might have or you know, deep longings that we might have. We you know, that's the stuff of life. That's how we evolve. So it's not that we just kind of become very passive or something like that. But what I would say is if somebody comes in and there's conflict, what's often happening is that that a person will experience conflict in some work relationship, and then they'll say, this isn't right. This feeling of conflict shouldn't be here. I should feel clear. I should feel in good connection. And so I need to change this conflict. It's not right. So there's a kind of subtle aggression towards that sense of conflict. And actually it kind of reifies it. It sticks it in place. And it's as if you become conflictual towards the conflict. So instead, this approach, this self the unfolding approach, it would be more like, well, let's just make contact with that sense of conflict as it's showing up in your experience in this moment. If we just let that be just the way it is, let's just be with that, and we might notice sensations, emotions, thoughts that arise with that sense of conflict. And when we let things be, when we let the sensations be and the emotions be, it's very compassionate. And yeah, it's quite beautiful how that yeah, it's like you're unlocking that reification, that sense of conflict, that wrestling with the conflict. And what you'll find is through this kind of contact and presence, it allows the sensation and the emotion to begin to move. And in that movement, there will be a further unfolding. You might notice like, oh, actually there's some voice here inside the conflict that feels very vulnerable. And I didn't notice that before. So suddenly you've had an insight. And actually that insight, you've created more space and more freedom and more awareness. And it might lead to giving space for that voice to be spoken, or yeah. So it's very quickly you see that and the key here is, Kareem, is that when someone is in this previous approach, they're in conflict with that conflict. It's as if their awareness and their sense of perspective gets contracted inside of it. And it's they lose contact with a sense of wisdom. And so as you begin to let things be as they are, and there's this spaciousness with it, and things begin to unfold, what you'll find remarkably is that there'll be this opening and integration that takes place. And then suddenly from that place, the client is connecting to a new sense of wisdom and insight. And a perspective on that conflict that wasn't available before, that it almost guaranteed it's a wiser, more compassionate response. So, yeah.
Yeah, that really resonates What I hear there is, instead of jumping past the issue or what's here, you really meet it, and what's here around it, so that it reveals. And in that revelation, that's way more meaningful, insightful, wisdom giving than trying to move away from it and kind of not looking at, what's really here. And in that, I hear there's a profound opportunity for growth, transformation, in a way that you can't do with kind of the A to B, let's get away from here and over there approach.
Yeah, so this is beautiful what you're saying. There's something very important here in that there's a type of intelligence and wisdom that comes online as we just are with our experience just the way it is. It's much vaster than if we almost like in our minds kind of have a sense of like, well, this isn't right and I need to be over there, which may have some truth to it, but is often a kind of very conceptual, slightly disconnected sense of solution to the issue. Whereas, yeah, and if you think about complexity theory, this is one of the and I think we often fall into the trap with clients as we try to gain more and more theory and knowledge about our clients that. We see them as a kind of complex, or I should say, like complicated machine-like entity. I mean, that's a characterization. But what we're talking about here in this unfolding approach is we start to see them as complex biological entities that are emergent. And so what we're doing in this approach is we're coaching in a way of being of coaching that. Is it what Steve would call a generative ontology rather than a descriptive ontology, which sounds very fancy, but or a prescriptive ontology. But it's like it's in a simple way, it's saying like you're learning how to be with the moment and your client in a way that allows this generation, this emergence to take place rather than relating to them through a set of a theory of stages of development or something and trying to impose that onto what should be happening.
Yeah. Do you know, as you're speaking there, it reminds me of something even as simple as with my daughter. I've been reading a lot about the importance of this kind of loving presence as a parent that allows them to grow and mature in their own beautiful way. And I had this experience a couple of weeks ago around kind of my self-improvement part as a dad, trying to make her do her homework. And she would, she did it a little bit, not very well, resistant, ended up getting there. And I caught myself, learning about all of this stuff. And then we just had this conversation, which was, hey, you don't want to do this, do you? And she was like, no, I don't. And why not? Because I'm worried, Dad, that if I don't do it well, you're not going to be happy. And I'd rather not, and escape. And just meeting her, and then, coming to the place of, well, what is it that really inspires you about this? And she started to speak about what it is she loved. And, so we unpacked what was going on and connected to something else, or that emerged. And then my role shifted, to how can I just allow you to let that flowering of your passion and learning intention. And honestly, it was so profound, because the next day she was like, and this, it really was as black and white as this. The next day she came home and said, I'm going to do these questions today because this is the topic I want to learn. And suddenly I'm like, wow, I got out of the way with my overlay, which is very capitalist. It's in our school system as well, which we'll maybe touch on in a second, of why this is important. And instead, really meeting her, and then letting her, almost let her being or soul come into the learning experience. And she was unfolding in a different way. But that process didn't come from pushing it. It came from inquiring into this moment of what's holding you back, what's going on, what am I doing? And it was in that deep relationship of care, love, presence that allowed her to come to the truth and feel safe to say, ouch, that was hurting. This is what's real for me. And it was such a touching moment as a parent to see her light come on. So yeah.
That's fascinating to me. It's beautiful that the light came on, and that's what I've seen with many, many clients as well in this working in this way. That light is like a it's the that intelligence that I'm talking about, the sense of flowering, the sense of allowing the innate emergence and flowering and truth and beauty and goodness to begin to reveal itself. And what I love about your story here, Kareem, is it's a great example of the difference between self-improvement, where maybe you came in with a sense of should and a sense of where you need to be instead of where you are, where your daughter needs to be. And instead you just met her, as she was, and that unlocked something. And this is a way of being that it goes beyond coaching. That's why I love what you're sharing, is that it's so powerful to do this with your children. There are people teaching about parenting in this way. And it's also it shows how this is a kind of meta competency in a way. So this is what I've seen with my clients, is they catch the way to be with themselves in this way. So they're like, oh, after a short while, they're like, oh, I get what you're doing. Like you keep inviting me into a certain way of being with my experience and myself. And then they start doing that, and then amazing things start to happen. Suddenly there's more ease in their lives and the way that they approach the situations they find themselves in, because they stop trying to improve things in the way we've been describing. Now, that doesn't mean things don't improve. They do improve, but just in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, here the improvement was on another level, and it wasn't for the sake of improvement. It was unfoldment, and it was more powerful than the experience we had of trying to push her to change. So I'd like to go to another question, Joel, with you around this, because what I noticed with the education system, it starts to formulate a way of being, which is you've got to get your grades because you're not there yet. And there's this kind of begin, this instilling of a self-improvement paradigm, which then goes into leadership. Instead of grades, it's growth and profit. And, at the expense, as I see with, with education, at the expense of our wholeness, at the expense of who we are. So, linked to that, Joel, what question comes to mind is why is this important, this approach important today for coaches to know about in the coaching they do with leaders, with other human beings?
Yeah, I think one. I think in a way we've been tapping into this. It's a great question. I think because it actually invites us into what Steve calls self-generating wisdom. That's actually connected to our embodied experience in the moment. And so we land inside of a certain kind of truth and knowing, just like you described with your daughter. Like there was a light in her eyes, and there was a sense of possibility. And so, not only is it very effective as a way to support someone in coming into deeper alignment with what they care about most in their lives, making deeper contact with themselves, but it's very adapted for our times, where we've always lived in complex times, but I think right now it's just very apparent. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a high pace of change. Things are breaking down, so we can't rely on as much this sense of charting from A to B in this kind of linear fashion that we used to. We actually need to become, like Jennifer Garvey Berger talks about, like we need to activate our complexity genius, and our capacity to be in the unknown, and to love our experience. And so and there and then as we do that, the next step, the unfolding, emerges. And that's where our clients' new structure, their new way of being, will emerge out of the moment, out of what's unfolding, into through insight into an embodiment. And so I just feel that this way of being is just it's just really being called for, particularly if you think about In the context of what's happening in McGilchrist's work, Dave Snowden's work, where there's a challenge to the way we atomize leadership, as in isolate leaders outside of the systems they're in, and we've kind of we live inside of a mechanistic world of fixed parts. And this way of coaching, this way of being again, is inviting us back into becoming connoisseurs, masters of the moment. That's the phrase I really like, so that we are able to, we're able to kind of live inside the aliveness of the relationships that we are on a fundamental level. And that is an incredibly fulfilling experience. Like there's, Steve talks about truth, beauty, and goodness as being inherent in this unfolding paradigm for their own sake. And as I've coached people in this way, and as I've journeyed in this way, I've experienced truth, beauty, and goodness as a kind of ontological experience, as an embodied experience, not just as an idea. And it's like, wow. Just wow, like this is inherently fulfilling. And it's the same thing, we haven't talked about wholeness, that this paradigm comes from the axiom or the presupposition that we're already whole, that so the self-improvement paradigm comes from this sense of like there's something missing, but this paradigm comes from this sense of what if nothing's missing? And what if we're already whole? Now that is espoused inside of coaching. Since I started as a coach, I always heard people say we're already whole. But to be honest, it meant nothing to me. Like it just was espoused. It was just like, oh, that's a nice idea. But when I started to work in this way, I experienced the embodied experience of, ah, there's nothing missing in this moment. And I've had clients had to say the same thing, and one of them said to me very beautifully, he was like, this is what I was looking for, this experience right now. I'm feeling nothing is missing. So for me, we're going through a very big transition right now in the on the planet, and it's hard to say where we're going, but I think this paradigm is one of the paradigms that is emerging that at least is incredibly important for us right now. So.
Yeah, beautiful. The image that came to mind when you were speaking about wholeness was just looking at the beauty of a plant, and wherever it is, you can't say one place, needs improvement over the next place. That taking root is a worse place to be than flowering. There's something about that innate appreciation of the wholeness of this unfolding, organism, and to appreciate, I think about child development again, every age is beautiful. And if we can really meet that rather than hold this lens of, well, that's not good enough, you need to get there. And when you get there, that's not good enough, and you need to get there. There's something that shifts when you hold that wholeness that allows you to meet the experience, the edge or the pain point that might be here presenting itself in coaching in the form of a goal, and then inviting that, well, what is wanting to unfold here? Let's get curious around this and let that unfolding do its powerful work in this moment. I love what you said about the moment. So yeah, I can see the beauty through truth and goodness of that. And just a connection for me around, what I see in capitalism, is it drives, like in education, that there's something missing, you need to get somewhere else, and then drives the, well, therefore, at the expense of that wholeness, I'm going to try and get somewhere else with my activities as a business leader. I'm going to drive growth over connection to the planet, or I'm going to not think about our people because I want to get somewhere else because this is missing. And suddenly it narrows towards a mechanistic goal setting paradigm, rather than when you're in wholeness, it feels like you can meet it all and then include it all as part of your unfolding journey, which actually feels more sustainably transforming.
Yeah,
Yeah, beautiful.
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how many more questions you have. Maybe we As we, there's just one thing I want to say in response to what you said, which is that you just shared something really, really profound and beautiful. And so, in a sense, we could say there's an inherent value, like this way of being could provide value for us to navigate these times. And I just want to emphasize another side, which is it's just like personally very fulfilling and fun to be in this kind of connection with somebody in the moment where you're just surfing the sense of contact and the coaching experience as it arises moment to moment. And you can let go of that need to get somewhere, to a prescribed place, to provide value. And you just start to feel that light in your eyes, and that you see the light in the and so there's just for me, I just enjoy that experience so much. So yeah, it's both,
And you've answered, it's interesting, you've answered a lot of the questions I had from why does this work, how does it work, comparing it. And what I notice interestingly is just in our experience right now, this I feel this sense of wholeness that makes those questions non-existent anymore. It just makes sense. It's like this feeling of course there's something unfolding, and if we can just meet it, and as coaches, if we can bring that, into the world and invite our clients into that space, that's enough. There's nothing more. And it feels like all the questions that I had just drop away, and they were all related to getting somewhere. And actually, when I meet it here, it's like I feel that sense of fulfillment you've just talked about, Joel. So yeah, I'm happy to not have those questions because they're no longer existent for me. There's one comment I wonder if you want to share before we close, which is around, I know we've got Steve's program coming up, and I wonder if you could speak a little bit into what he might be sharing around this space in that program.
Yeah, so I mean, he's really going to go into everything we've been talking about today. So, yeah, if you feel inspired by this and you feel called to this, I mean, more and more coaches who are, and even outside of the field of coaching, modalities are arising which are, rooted inside of this unfolding paradigm. It's growing. It's really growing. So if you feel inspired by this, then that's what the program's about. But in more detail, he's going to go into the paradigm shift from self-improvement to unfoldment and four ways that we can shift from improvement to unfoldment. So you can bring it into your coaching as well. And he'll really talk about what is it to create the space for unfoldment, because it's really a kind of container that you're creating. It's a kind of attitude. So what's the role of presence inside of that? And you'll talk about attunement itself. I think this is really key. It's been language that's been here in our conversation a lot, but it's like this is an embodied attunement to the moment and to our clients that we're cultivating. So just going to go right into what are the ingredients for that. And I think there's this idea of self-arising wisdom and navigating complexity. These are words I've used today. So I think it's interesting, and he'll teach about this to learn how we can access self-generating, self-arising wisdom, and why complexity is an important idea inside of that. So it's a frame that unlocks a lot of possibility. And he's going to talk about deepening presence. He'll touch into these four depths of human experience, which I found to be very profound in orienting where I am in my coaching. And he'll talk about how we can explore obstacles to unfolding, which block this natural process of deepening depth is a word that Steve's going to bring in. Let me say it's an experience you'll get inside of the training. So those are just some of the things.
Beautiful. Great. And there's one more addition that comes to my mind. Just to notice my own initial feeling of, okay, this unfolding paradigm can feel passive. You're just letting things happen. And actually, my experience has been it's no way passive. Like when you're fully engaged, you know, if there's a fire of a challenge that comes up, you bring that in with your wholeness. You know, sometimes it is a, I'm just going to pay attention and just be deeply present and listen. At other times it's call out a truth that the client might not be seeing, but it's in that moment where something very powerful is comes in through us in the relationship when you're profoundly connected. So yeah, it's a very active yet also present place to coach from, which I hope you get to learn from in the program as well.
Look, it's the opposite of passive. It's
Yeah.
you need wholehearted courage to participate in the coaching in a way that you might not have before, fully in the experience in the moment, being the courage to be in the unknown, to be present and to be attuned. It's widening the experience of participation and engagement. Yeah.
And any, this is one of your questions, Joel, to end with. Is there anything else that you'd like to share that you haven't shared?
I think we got it covered. I think it's just to share that this is something we feel is at the edge of what's coming in and how coaches need to adapt in these times to be future fit, to be as the rise of AI coaching takes place. This is one of the differences that that makes us human, and we tap into a kind of emergent creative capacity that, at least for now, I don't see AI being able to replicate. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
beautiful. Yeah, because AI seems to be able to mimic the model-based coaching, and we'll probably do that quite well. But yeah, this is our next potential. So thanks for sharing that. So on that note, let me say thank you. That was just a juicy, rich, connecting conversation. I feel, you know, that field of presence, and yeah, grateful for having the conversation with you.
Me too, Kareem. I had fun.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. And a reminder that the early bird enrollment is now open for our upcoming live training, The Neuroscience of Change. This program reveals the biology of change, showing us what happens in the brain and the body when different coaching techniques are used. You'll learn how to work with the innate pathways of change in all of us so you can create powerful transformation with your clients. Just go to coachesrising.com/neuroscienceofchange to book your spot. And remember, you can get the early bird discount if you join by February the 7th.
Here we are, we're at the end of the podcast. Just a heads up again, if you're not on our mailing list and you want to stay in the loop about other things we create, then head to coachesrising.com. Put your name in the sign-up box there. You'll also find some of our other offerings, our online trainings for coaches there. And just want to end by wishing you well, and I'll see you again next time.